Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviyan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
You don't have to just come in when we're chanting the Panchatattva Mantra. We say Chaitanya, because that's your name. Because you know, otherwise I might feel only one, you know, 1 month out of the year come when we're saying Kartik. You know, so. Yeah.
Thus the conclusion of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that the Lord is full of transcendental qualities. Attracted by these qualities, the devotees enter in different types of relationships with the Lord, based on loving devotional service to Him. The Vaishnavas therefore react strongly against the theory that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is devoid of qualities. This idea is not only theologically absurd, but most importantly, a disturbance for the devotees who are relishing loving reciprocations with the Lord. In a purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 4.20.27, Srila Prabhupada explains, "The Mayavadi philosophers take the absolute truth to be nirguna, without qualities, in accordance with the impersonalistic view. But actually the Lord is the reservoir of all good qualities. One of the most important qualities of the Lord is his inclination to his devotees, for which he is called Bhakta Vatsala." Yeah, so this point of relationship is based on qualities, right? All interaction is based on quality. Whatever is the particular qualities that are there, that's then going to be the quality of interaction. Right? So qualities are important. Without them, there will be no interaction. There will be no relationship. So he's pointing out, and so therefore this Bhakta Vatsala is important, most important quality, one of the most important qualities, because the devotees are very important to him, very dear. So he'll always interact with them. He'll always be engaged with them, taking care of them. Right? So that then establishes the point of the importance of the qualities, because then, based on that, then all the other aspects of interaction and relationship expand. Okay. According to Srila Prabhupada, the term saguna Brahman refers not to the Lord contaminated by matter, but rather to the conditioned souls and the material creation. These bona fide usages of the term saguna Brahman are given in the Bhaktivedanta purports to Srimad Bhagavatam 4.27 and 3.26.15. The living entities who are many and who are entangled in this material world are not pure. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure and detached. Due to being covered by the material body, the living entities are not self-effulgent. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, is self-effulgent. The living entities being contaminated by the modes of material nature are called saguna, whereas Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is nirguna, not being under the influence of the material modes. Right? So it's a matter of what when we're saying these terminologies, because so many terminologies are there, it very important is what is the point that's being described. So we're saying sagun, nirgun, what is being described? So it's being described, then Prabhupada's explaining here, is material qualities or material contamination. Right, so with material contamination, without material contamination, that would be, you know, how you would translate the term sagun nirgun, right? But some will take it as just they don't distinguish, they can't, because impersonalist means you don't make distinction actually between anything. So therefore, qualities, they don't distinguish material or spiritual. This is their difficulty. This is the weakness. Right? Thing to know here is also the personality of God is pure and detached. So the idea is that if you're going to be close with the Lord, means you would have to have a common platform of how you say, existence. So the Lord, when he's in this world, is maintains purity and is detached. Right? So that means the devotee then, to be in a dynamic relationship with the Lord, would have to be on the same platform. Otherwise, you can't be friends if there's not something in common. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is if one is pure by performance of one's duties, and the result of that, one is not looking for them for the oneself, then one is on, that is the standard that Krishna works by. And at that standard, then the two of you have something in common that you can actually have a relationship. Does that make sense? Relationship is stronger by how much is in common. Right? Does that make sense? So then it goes very nicely. Yes. What sense detached? Detached means is it doesn't mean that one is not performing one's activities. It means that why you're performing the activities is not specifically for oneself. It's for the Lord's pleasure. Does that make sense? Like, it means you're taking a bath, let's say, because you're attached to being clean. Because if you're clean, then, you know, your social status is better, people relate with you better, or, you know, you just feel more comfortable. You don't feel all itchy and stuff. So that would be your impetus to take a bath. But, you know, being socially acceptable and, you know, being in a clean state, then the higher principle would be, well, why would that even be important? Right. Why would it be even a consideration amongst people that cleanliness is important? Right? It means they didn't make it up. Right? So that means it's come down from the principles of religion, right? The state of purity and cleanliness and like that. So then, ultimately, it means then the state of purity and cleanliness and that are pleasing to Krishna. So, therefore, then, one would start to take one's bath because it's pleasing to Krishna. And then the side benefits are people think you're a clean person. Does that make sense? So the activity doesn't change, just that it's introduced so that Krishna is involved. Right? Otherwise, if Krishna's not involved, it's pious, it's nice, it may be refined or sophisticated, you know, or intelligent, but all those qualities with time will be lost. Right? The living entity is constantly moving through the material world. So for somebody who's eternal to only gain qualities temporarily, it's basically kind of, in one sense, unfortunate. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that the living entity should be fortunate by connecting everything to Krishna. Right? But connecting it means they're actually you should be able to explain that connection. You know, it says, yes, you know, why are you taking a bath? Well, you know, we're taking it for Krishna. Well, how does that work? You know, because before you joined, you also took a bath. But that wasn't for Krishna. So then, why is this bath for Krishna and that bath wasn't for Krishna? You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to explain the steps like that. So it doesn't mean the duty has changed. We generally think because the impersonalist concept is if you're detached, you don't do anything that deals with attachment. Right? That's very clear, very easy. If we say, be detached, give up everything, don't be involved in all this, you know, family, friends, and money, and all these different things. Then everyone, no one asks a question. Right? It's just clear. Now, a matter of whether I want to do that or not, that's another thing. But actually, how does it work? No one will say anything. Or, you know, do this activity, you know, you'll get the result, it'll be good for you, you know, you'll be happy, you know, you'll have more facility, people will respect you, you'll get things done, you know, all these different things. No one asks a question. It's just a matter of whether I want to go to that work, get that result or not. You know, it's like going to the shop, you know, it's like,
you know, I want some stuff, and so I just look at it and which one I choose, which result I want, you know. Does that make sense? But when you combine it, which is devotional service, where you're performing the activity that gives result, but you don't want the you're not looking for the result for yourself, that doesn't make sense. That's why then we always ask questions. Because then the thing is, because we say, don't be attached means I don't deal with it. Does that make sense? You know, the family gets up in the morning, they just kind of like get ready, go to the temple. They don't really interact or take care of each other like that. Because they're detached. Right? So-called, at least. You know, because they can't see that I could perform this duty, and attachment means, because attachment means the result is mine. Right? Does that make sense? Because I'm getting something from it. You're attached to your house. Why? There's something you gain from having that house. I'm attached to my money because there's something I get from having the money. The prestige or the facility, you know, respect, whatever it is that may be there. I get it from that. I'm attached to it. But so now to have that money and use it, but the results are not for me, that doesn't make as much sense. Or results are not for me means I have nothing to do with them. That also can mean some, make some sense. But here it is, you're dealing with them. And you're dealing with them properly. You're dealing with them properly in such a way that there is going to be a result, right? You know, the husband and wife don't interact because it's Maya, you know, and they figure that's Krishna conscious. But what is being offered to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? Because you're not getting a result. So how do you offer something Krishna? Right? The businessman is detached, so he doesn't do anything. He doesn't make a sale, so therefore there's no result to be attached to. And then he considers that's Krishna conscious. But where's the result for Krishna? Does that make sense? So it's by selling his product, getting the money from that, and connecting that money to Krishna. That's detached. But because of the impersonal concept, then we think detached means I don't make the sale. I don't get the money. You know, Prabhupada talk about those sadhus. You know, when you come with money, you know, then the hands would go behind their back. And then people think, oh, So, advanced in that. Prabhupada said, they come with money, we stick our hands out. Yes, give it to us, we'll use it for Krishna. You know, it's a very different concept. Very different concept. What does it mean for him to be detached? It means he's performing his duties not because he's trying to get any material benefits from it. Right? He's not driving Arjuna's chariot, you know, in the proper way, because then after everyone will tell him, you know, you did a nice job, or, you know, he'll get something to eat out of it, or, you know, something, you know what I'm saying? He's not doing it for that. He's doing it because of, to please his devotees. So his devotees' happiness and pleasure is what he considers a value. So therefore, only if you're detached can you do that, right? The mother, she takes care of the child. There's the attachment, but the service she renders has to be detached. Right? Because if she was attached, kid could go on screaming all night and she'd just be asleep. Right? Does that make sense? So it's like, that's the whole element, is that the activity that gets result is still performed, but the result is for Krishna's pleasure. Does that make sense? So maybe directly Krishna to the Vaishnavas, you know, in pursuance of the injunctions of the scripture. Whatever is the connection to Krishna, you know, maybe more direct, less direct, you know, maybe connected, you know, through the Brahman platform, the Paramatma platform, like that, or the Bhagavan. Does that make sense? Based more, connected more to the Bhagavat rules, to the Pancharatrika rules, to the Vedic rules, because they've all come from Krishna. So all these things have come from Krishna. He's established all these. So these are various ways you can connect everything to him. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's basically what we're trying to do. So that's what's not understanding. As soon as I'm detached, I have nothing to do with it. No, when you're detached means you have more to do with it, because the quality of your dealing with it will be better. Because there's only so good you can do it for yourself. Right? There's, you know, but if you're doing it for someone else, the quality of it increases. Does that make sense? Yes? Yeah? Like that. Still understood or more? Understood.
And next quote, third canto. According to the Vedic version, there is no existence beyond Brahman. Sarvam kalviram brahma. Chandogya Upanishad 3.14.1. That means there's only Brahman. There isn't something else. Right? This concept that the Mayavadis have, that there's Brahman and there's illusion, that actually isn't there. They're in illusion for thinking like that. That's why they're called the Mayavadis, right? They profess Maya. Brahmavadis, they profess Brahman. Everything is Brahman. Whether you have an illusion about it or not, it's still Brahman. You know? Does that make sense? You have something you think is very valuable, you don't think it's valuable. You're attracted, you're not attracted. It doesn't matter, it's still the same thing. Right? So the whole cosmic creation is Brahman. It's just there's various qualities of Brahman, superior Brahman and inferior Brahman. Right? Internal potency Brahman, external potency Brahman, the Tathasta Brahman. But it's all Brahman, so there isn't anything else other than Brahman. Right? So that point is being made. Okay. It is stated also in the Vishnu Purana that whatever we see is Parashya Brahmana Shakti. Everything is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahman. When Brahman is mixed with the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance, there results the material expansion, which is sometimes called Saguna Brahman, and which consists of these 25 elements. In the Nirguna Brahman, there is no material contamination, or in the spiritual world. The three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, are not present. Where Nirguna Brahman is found, simple unalloyed goodness prevails. Saguna Brahman is described by the Shankya system of philosophy as consisting of 25 elements, including the time factor, past, present, and future. So here he's described there, you know, thus the actual meaning of Saguna and Nirguna is established. So here he's bringing out that the Saguna refers to the jivas who have taken on these material qualities because of their conditioning or identification, and the material energy, which has naturally the material qualities, right? Because it is material energy, so it's naturally going to have material qualities. So both of these then are the Saguna Brahman. But in any case, the whole idea is everything is Brahman. Right? There's nothing else. So when it's under the element of illusion, then that's Saguna. Right? Like that. When the jiva is then influenced by that, that's Saguna. Right? The Lord is Nirguna. And the material energy, it's only when basically operated by the Saguna Brahman jivas that it takes on these qualities also of this Saguna. Because otherwise it's Pradhan. There's no qualities. It just sits there. Like that. It's all a kichuri. You can't distinguish between anything. But it becomes separated for the benefit of the living entities who want to engage in this way. Does that make sense? So when we say material, because that other thing we don't really call material, right? That's just the external energy. But what material means, we see it from our own perspective that's not God conscious. Right? We see it as something separate from the Supreme Brahman. Right? So technically that means we're not seeing it as Brahman. So that's illusion. So that's generally what we're meaning when we talk about the Saguna, is the illusion itself. And the person, I mean, the item that is seen as illusion, or through the perspective of illusion, and the living entity who is in illusion. All right, is that clear? Yes. means sense, refer to Krishna. Generally, see, because saguna and nirguna are concepts that we're dealing with in connection with Brahman. But when you're dealing with Krishna as Bhagavan, then generally they're just referred to as qualities, because you're not, saguna and nirguna are necessary for distinguishing material from spiritual. If you're dealing just with spiritual, then you deal with it just on that. It has its own terminologies. I'm saying, because when you say sagun nirgun, that means you're looking at it from this perspective on what has material qualities and what doesn't. Right?
Because at the beginning we were discussing that Lord is Sadishesh, is Nirvishesh. On top of this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does. Means in this connection. See, you have to be able to take what means the perspective changes. So therefore, the terminology changes to, you know, reflect that. So when we're saying sagun nirgun, then that's generally referring to the material qualities. So in that case, we're not referring to 64 qualities of Krishna. You know, Rupa Goswami does not open, you know, the second ocean, you know, first wave with, you know, here are the saguna qualities of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's a different concept. You know, just like you're talking about, you know, food, you talk about cooking. You know what I'm saying? You talk about something else, you use a different terminology. Even though it may be the same process. Right? It's just like, let's say, you are melting steel. Right? You still have a pot, you have a spoon, you have a fire, but you don't call it cooking. You know? You know what I'm saying? They don't say, yes, we got some very nice steel from today's cooking. Right? That's something else. You know, you cook vegetables, you smelt iron. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, then you understand what you're talking about, even though the process is the same. So the sagun nirgun then means that. So we're saying here, distinguishing that the other, when we're saying this savishesha nirvishesha, you know, or sagun nirgun there, we're saying that Krishna does have qualities, but they're spiritual. And he has no material qualities. So we're looking at that way. Does that make sense? So you're either looking at it that from the position of illusion, someone who is under illusion is with qualities. And someone who is not under illusion is without qualities. Right? But when you're comparing the actual spiritual world to the material world, then you're saying that the material world, that is nirguna. Because there you have no material qualities, and saguna you're with spiritual qualities. So the context you have to be able to catch, because otherwise it reverses. You understand? When you're looking at it from the perspective of illusion, then saguna means you're an illusion. Right? But if you're looking at it from comparing spiritual to material, you know, that the spiritual is the prominent element, then saguna means spiritual, nirguna means material. It reverses. That's why it becomes confusing. That's why it's important to understand the perspective. We're discussing illusion, then those who are under illusion, they're saguna. Those who are not under illusion are nirguna. When you're talking about spiritual qualities, those with the spiritual qualities are saguna. Those who don't have the spiritual qualities are nirguna. No, general usage is either of these. If you want to talk about Krishna's qualities, then you're dealing with him as Bhagavan. This, we're dealing with Brahman. This is a Brahman description. Right? Does that make sense? So you say he walks, he does not walk. So he does not walk here as Brahman, as his energies. Right? He walks as Bhagavan. You know what I'm saying?
So you have to be able to distinguish, are we talking about Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan? So if you're talking about Bhagavan, then guna means his 64 qualities. So it's described in a different light. You know what I'm saying? That would be like writing. Writing is writing, there's nothing else. So you can't distinguish between a memo and a poem. It's all writing. You know what I'm saying? So how successful will the man be if he sends a memo to his wife? Or a poem to his office workers? You understand? So you have to be able to deal with the concept that a word can have many meanings. If you can't do that, then you'll have a lot of trouble with the fine points of our philosophy. Because the terms overlap, you know, to the point where it's completely opposite. Saguna is material, nirguna is spiritual. Or we say nirguna, that's Krishna's relationship with the material world, but in his relationship with the spiritual world, saguna. So we've just reversed it completely there. So you have to understand what we're talking about. You know? It means Krishna's never saguna with material qualities, so therefore he's called nirguna, because he doesn't have material qualities. Right? So in that case, the jiva is saguna, Krishna is nirguna. But when it comes to spiritual qualities, Krishna has spiritual qualities. He's saguna, but the conditioned soul doesn't have any. He's nirguna. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes. You have consciousness. He's conscious. So that's the whole point, is that he's conscious. So what he's conscious of, it's so nice to not be in the material world. Right? Just being in the Brahman is nice. Right? Because he was conscious of the material, and now he's free from that. So that freedom from that, that liberation, that's the Brahmananda that he's appreciating. Right? Does that make sense? It's just like this. You come into the room from outside. It's very, very hot. Okay, let's do it the other way. It's very cold outside, and you come into a nice, warm room. Okay? Seen that it's winter. Okay, now you're appreciating being freed from the cold, that you're in a warm environment. So as long as the mind appreciates that, you're gaining happiness from that situation. As soon as the mind is not appreciating that fact, because in other words, it's intransitive. You're just in a state of existence of appreciating the warmth, or as we said in the summertime, you know, going into a place that's cool. Nothing's happening. It's just a state of existence. You're not doing anything. You're not doing anything when you sit there and appreciate that this room is very nice and cool, and it was so hot outside.
But you're perceiving it through the material sense.
But here is, you're perceiving that you're dealing with that you were in the material world and that's painful, and now you're out of the material world, there is no pain. That's nothing to do with your senses. That's just the state of mind. You know what I'm saying? Is that okay? Not exactly. You're in anxiety about something, so what sense are you perceiving that anxiety with?
Mind.
Yeah, so that's the point.
Do you have a mind in the, if you're mind?
Why wouldn't you? It means you have consciousness, so that means there must be some form of mind. But the mind is in its tattvastha state rather than being in its you know, personal state. You know, it means your spiritual state means it's connected to Krishna. And that's why it's saying Brahman and Paramatma concepts are concepts of the material world. They're not concepts of the spiritual world. You know, this point generally throws devotees off very badly. That's right there in second canto. Because in the spiritual world, why would they consider Brahman?
Because
Why do they need to? Why would they consider Paramatma? He's standing right in front of them. So there's only Bhagavan in the spiritual world. So the concepts of Paramatma Bhagavan are concepts important for the conditioned soul to free himself from material contamination and connect himself with the Lord. So then it's the natural steps to get to the Bhagavan realization. So it's not a spiritual position to be in the Brahman. We take it as a spiritual because of residual value of impersonal philosophy. You know, that's why same residue makes it hard for us to understand that detachment doesn't mean no work. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the father is detached from the family, so that means he doesn't take care of them or doesn't pay much attention. You know, pay the bills, he'll do that, but no emotional support, no because that's all Maya. Right? But as we said, that's an impersonal concept. Because Krishna deals with everything very nicely, but he's detached. So what he's looking for is the interaction, the reciprocation, not what he's going to gain from it. Does that make sense? So that right there we see is, philosophically it's hard to understand, and then when you apply that same misunderstanding into one's social life, it's a total disaster. Does that make sense? So it's a mundane concept. So the mind, you know, intelligence, the identity is there, but it's not the conditioned identity. It's not the material mind. You know, it's the mind that the soul has, but it hasn't come to the point of being connected to Krishna and the Bhagavan platform. Right? It's not like our Saru. Because there you're also dealing with mind, intelligence, and ego. But it's now in its natural state. But it still has to be cultivated to come to the platform of prema. Does that make sense? So there, with the mind, they're perceiving that it's so nice to be freed from material existence. Right? Does that make sense? That's Brahmananda. So it's not positive. It's just, it's so nice to not be harassed by material energy anymore. Right? It's no lust, greed, anger, envy, attachment, all these different kinds of things. So that's what makes it nice for them. But just as how long do you stay appreciating that this room is cool, having come in from outside? How long? Some minutes. So as soon as that goes, then what do you want to do? Yeah. In other words, existing in that intransitive state of just appreciating the coolness or the warmth or whatever it is, the quality of that environment, then when that recedes, then one immediately thinks of activity. You know, because one's adjusted. So that means that they're going to come into the Brahman and think this is so nice for some time. And then after some time, then they're going to want to do something. Because now being in Brahman is normal for them. It's not a new experience. So as soon as they want to do something, then what's going to come up into their mind? Right? Because they want to do an activity. But what activities do they know? They only know the activities of the material world. They don't know what spiritual activity is because they've rejected it. Because they say spiritual means nirguna. So there can't be any spiritual activity. So that means they come back into the material sphere. That's just the way it works. It's just the mechanics. So that's why we're saying is these principles that are there in the philosophy and culture, they're consistent. So the same way that it works, that you're liberated from the hot, you know, weather, it's the same principle that works when you're liberated from the material world. It's not different. It's just the quality of it may be better. You know what I'm saying? The situation might be nicer, the result may be better, like that. But the principle of it is the same. Right? So that's the idea, is that catching this, then we understand that human life is the lifestyle, natural lifestyle of the living entity. Right? And in that natural lifestyle, he serves Krishna. Just that here you're dealing with inferior elements. Well, if you're in the spiritual world, you're dealing with superior elements. That's all. You know, just like, let's say, you're cooking. You're in a very well-outfitted, well-designed kitchen with all... Then it's a better quality. Or it's a very small little kitchenette. But still, the process of cooking goes on. It doesn't change. It's just the quality of what you can do, the niceness, the ease of it. It's easier to serve in the spiritual world because you don't have, you know, this hunger, thirst, fatigue, all these different things. But, you know, here you do. But it doesn't mean that the principle that one desires to serve Krishna with one's facility for to please Krishna. Because if you're in the spiritual world with a spiritual body, you have better facilities than you have here. But you're doing it all for Krishna. Right? So if it's hard to give up this meager existence here for Krishna, why will you give up something far superior? You know what I'm saying? You have a material body. It doesn't have all the material problems. So this material body that has so much problem, we're so attached to. So how attached will we be to the spiritual body? Right? So therefore, you can't function in that environment unless that element of detachment is there. So they're just as detached there. Right? What we're asking here is what they do there. You know what I'm saying? If you can't give up, you know, 10 rupees, how are you going to give up a lakh of rupees? You know, it won't happen. So that's the whole idea, is that you're only being asked to do what is the natural, normal function of a living entity in the spiritual world. You want to be in the spiritual world, start doing what they do. Right? You want to be on the cricket team, you have to start playing cricket. If I say, why are you so fanatic? Why do I have to practice cricket? You know, isn't that, you know, that's... You know, you can go on and on about why you shouldn't do that, but it doesn't make any sense. Right? You want to be part of something, you have to do it. You want to be a pujari, you have to learn puja and do it. I'm a pujari, why be so fanatic? Why do I have to do puja? You know, it's like, what? You know, so, you know, here's how they live in the spiritual world. Here's the culture, here's the activities. Oh, don't be fanatic. So then what are you supposed to do? You know what I'm saying? So the problem is not there's family life, there's money, there's this, there's that. That's not, they have all that in the spiritual world. They have better stuff in the spiritual world. Right? Their stuff is way better than here. But the point is not that. The point is whose is it? Right? Spiritual world, they consider it's all for Krishna's pleasure. Right? And they have their quota. Right? This is Radharani's house. That is her quota of, you know, buildings that she uses for Krishna. Mother Jashoda has her quota. You understand? Everybody has their quota. Because it's all Krishna's anyway. It's all for Krishna. But to express that, to exchange those, to have that exchange with Krishna, you need something to use as a medium to show that appreciation. Therefore, everyone has their quota. So Ishupanishad is simply saying the same thing. Whatever is by your karma, your quota here, take that quota and, like the residents of the spiritual world, use that quota in connection with Krishna, with that same attitude. So because there it comes more naturally and by association, then there's no need of books and rules. But here, we don't have that advantage, so therefore books are there. Because even you have the association, while it's going on, it's great. But as soon as you leave that association, you may forget because of our conditioning. Therefore, then the books are there, right? That have all the rules in it. Does that make sense? Yes. A Brahmavadi, yes. A Mayavadi, never. Technically speaking, Mayavadis will never get out of the material world because they don't. I can't actually identify what's spiritual. Because for them, you know, everything here is illusion. So they actually don't know what Brahman is. Because everything here is Brahman. You know, so they'll say it's all Brahman, but at the same, they don't act as if it's Brahman, then what's the big deal about the illusion? It's still Brahman anyway, whether someone sees it illusion or not. You see the thing, it's Brahman. The other person sees it, it's illusion. So what do you care? Because the Brahmavadi is already liberated sitting right here. He doesn't have to go to the Brahman. Brahman is all-pervasive. It's not Brahman means it's only out there, the Brahma Jyoti, out there in the space between the spiritual world and the material world. Brahman is all-pervading. So therefore, sitting right here, you're Brahman. Sukadev Goswami sits right here. He's Brahman realized. The four Kumaras are Brahman realized. They're already in Brahman. That's the whole point. Brahman is not a physical place. It's not a location. It's a consciousness. Because everything is Brahman. So the Mayavadis will never be liberated. But the Brahmavadis, they're sincere. They just don't know about Paramatma and Bhagavan. So when they come in contact with it, because they are spiritual, and they know, you know, they're liberated, they know that they have no material connection. So when they come in contact with the Bhagavan feature, they can appreciate that, you know, Brahman has qualities. Yes?
How can you be Brahmavadi and know so much and not know about Paramatma and Bhagavan? Because they study and so on.
It's just the interpretation of how you deal.
They get lost in the trees.
Yeah, they get lost in the trees. In the words and in the interpretation. Because they have a certain interpretation, so when you see that, then that always means that. You know, it's just like they say one's being renounced, they come money, so that means automatically not good, not important. You know, and so everywhere you look, you know, there's some element of money, so they're always detaching themselves from that. But someone else who money is a value, then everywhere they look, they see money. You know, so like that. So that's why the, we'll get into that, means, you know, in the evening class, probably a few months down the line, is we'll get into the six schools. And when we get into that, then we'll start to see how it is they interpret. Because that's what makes the difference between the school, is how they interpret the same words, the same verses. Because everybody's basically using the same verses. Like here, we use Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. But we mean is that everything is Brahman, everything is Krishna's energy. You know, there isn't something else. So that's how we understand it. They take it, everything's Brahman, so it's all Brahman. There is no forms and shapes, because they take Brahman can't have. But we're taking it that's a very low level understanding. We're taking it that it's all Brahman means even the shapes and forms and everything is still Brahman. Right? So the Maya is simply you don't understand it's Brahman. That's all. But it doesn't mean when you understand it, it disappears. But they have the idea as soon as you understand it's Brahman, it evaporates. It's not there anymore. And you're just sitting in the Brahman. So this is just a thing of just, you know, that hope against hope, you know. And like kids sit in their treehouse and, you know, make up rules and their plans and everything like that. It sounds really good to them. But it's not like that. The point is that it goes. Otherwise, how does Sukadev Goswami run down the path and not bump into the trees or fall into the river? Because he can still distinguish that there's different varieties of Brahman. So you can tell where is road Brahman, where is tree Brahman, where is water Brahman. But for him, it's just Brahman, like that. That's why he can move and not bump into things. Or if it was something more mystical, then we'd see he'd run and walk through the trees or walk on the water. You know, it wouldn't make any difference. But the point is if he's on that level, why do you have to walk in the first place? You know, what's the need? So. Their point is it's just all Brahman, so it doesn't matter. So Krishna is also Brahman. But they can't distinguish the Bhagavan feature of Brahman. So that's why they're not, the Brahmavadis are not offensive. They're just not as well educated as they could be. So Krishna is transcendental to them, as so is everything else. Right, but the Brahmavadis, then only the Brahman is transcendental, and the form of Krishna is Maya. That's so. Therefore, they're Mayavadis. They can't. They actually can't distinguish. You know, they're very, 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 very intelligent fools. Like that. Very logical, and you know, very thoughtful, but they just miss the point. The Brahmavadis, hey, we can work with them. But the Mayavadis, there's not much you can do with them. You know, you just have to remove their illusion. The Brahmavadi, it's a matter of taking them further. Like that. So therefore, like the four Kumaras, Shukadev Goswami, like that. They were Brahman realized. You know, but then coming in contact with the Lord, then they move forward. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so your time. Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Is Brahmavada presented now in like in some schools? Because we can see in the
Brahmavada is general. Right? You have food, and then within food you have rice or dal or this or that. So Brahmavadi means Brahman is their ultimate goal. So Mayavadis are technically Brahmavadis. But we make the distinction because a Brahmavadi, you know, is actually situated on the Brahman platform, while the Mayavadi is actually situated in Maya.
Does somebody Brahmavadi?
Is?
And he doesn't have the knowledge of Bhagavan.
Yeah, what's the point?
I mean, can we see the examples of such persons? I mean, now.
How would you know if you saw one? Yeah, so what's the importance? We're given examples of Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras. Because finding a person who's a Brahman realized, that's not our goal. We're trying to make people Bhagavan realized. So whoever it is, whether they're in Maya or they're liberated, the discussions would be the same. But if someone actually was liberated, the questions they would ask, you could see, would be purely on a spiritual platform with no material considerations. So therefore you give them answers that are just dealing directly with the spiritual realm and the spiritual qualities. Because you don't have to convince them that materialism is bad, because they don't deal with it. They don't live in the material world. Right? They live in Brahman. Does that make sense? So it wouldn't even come up in the discussion, so you don't have to worry. Like that? Right? You're going to talk about Krishna, and if they're talking about things and their attachments and that, then you know they're conditioned. If they're not talking about it, then you know they're liberated. There's a school of thought. There's Advaita school. The Advaita school is Brahmavada. Right? But within that, then you have so many. So Shankara becomes the main representative of that now. But before Shankara, there's always been the Advaita school. It's always been there. It just has different forms. Well, it means when we get to that point, then we'll find out the differences in it and where he's getting, because technically what he's presenting is covered Buddhism. It's not even actually Brahmavad. It's Buddhism. It's just been brought into the Vedic paradigm. That's all. Does that make sense? You know, it's just there's nothing, and you don't worry about it, because otherwise Brahmavad is not that there's nothing. It's just everything's Brahman. So we try to get rid of everything, then that's the Mayavadis. So it's actually Buddhism. Buddhism is just extinguish existence. It's, you know what I'm saying? Because then there's that relationship, there's that whole interaction. You're dealing with the emotional platform. See, when you do it for yourself, you're dealing with partiva rasa, which means just earthly, the sensual pleasure. when you're dealing with doing it for others than if it's on the material platform you're dealing with swargiya rasa, which means the emotions that arise from proper performance of duty. You know, it means that interaction with others, what you get from them. Right? So the quality of it's greater. You know what I'm saying? You want to save you're in a difficult situation, you want to save yourself. You know, you'll work very hard. But if there's someone who's very important to you and you want to save them, right, then that's where you do the amazing. Right? So that's the whole idea. Okay? It's like for yourself, you stay up all night, you know, on Ekadasis and other festival days and just absorb yourself, and are you able to do that? No, but the mother, she has a child, she does that for 2 years. You understand? So that's the whole point. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.